And hey, good morning. It's so good to be here with you today. And we're going to be talking about social media safety. And before we get any further, we should talk about who our audience is today. Okay? Because it's not necessarily everyone in the room. This is more of a parental audience. It's how to keep yourself and your family safe. So as I was talking with Pastor Mike about this content over the past several weeks, the students in the room might be a little bored by this. I do not apologize for that. I also want to say I'm not the expert by any way, shape, means, or form. So go ahead and get your hands up, Q&A it, comment, all that good stuff. I'm not pretending to be what I am not. In that same vein, my kids are young. They're little. My oldest is 10, so they haven't yet really gotten into that age yet where a lot of the trouble starts. So those of you who have older children, we appreciate your wisdom. We want to hear about it. I also don't know your kids. So I prepared for this not knowing your kids. So just know that from the outset. Fair enough? And I also just want to take a minute to say parenting is hard. And in my experience with it, it's hard. My kids are still young. I realize some of the problems we've had are easy compared to what's coming. So just from the outset, let's acknowledge that. But let's also appreciate the fact that we have the Word of God to look to, that we have each other to rely on, and we have this church, which even makes something like today available. Also want to say that you are both better and worse than you think. So let's encourage you for a minute and say that you can't mess up your kids too much because they're already depraved, right? There's depravity there. They're sinners. Also, you're sinners raising sinners. So you're already messing up your kids based on the fact that you're a sinner raising a sinner, right? But you can't mess them up any worse than depravity too. So, was that encouraging and not at the same time? Good. All right. Good. All right. I'm going to skip over all these internet statistics because we don't have time, but if you want to look at them in the packet, look at these beautiful slides. I mean, look at that. There's all sorts of stuff there. Yeah. All right. We're going to get right to what the problem is, okay? If you recall from Pastor Jared's session a couple weeks ago, he played that video from the social media documentary, and all of these experts, all of these Silicon Valley tech giants, they were up there and they were talking and they were saying, yeah, there's this problem. And they never really came to the answer, right? There was no conclusion there necessarily. They go throughout the documentary to discuss that a little bit more. But if you like are like me, you're kind of like, well, what is the problem? I need to know what the problem is. Or maybe you do know the problem because you've seen it. So we're going to talk about what the problem is. So let me ask you, what do you think the problem is with just social media and internet safety when it comes to kind of those realms? Go ahead and raise your hand, get them up high. Good. Lots of participation. Thanks, Jared. Yeah, so as a parent, you feel like you're always catching up. There's always a new thing. There's always something to learn. Yeah, good. Anybody else? Too much information to share. Yeah, it's like you're drinking from the fire hose every second because there's just so much out there to consume. Yeah, that's fair. Absolutely. Mike. So Mike was saying that it's overwhelming, just the rapid release of technology and software. It's always coming at you. So I'm going to let you in on a little secret, okay? Anybody who works in IT will tell you this. You don't know everything. You Google everything. If you're a good Googler, you're going to be all right in IT. Right? That's the secret. Just throwing it out there. All right, I'm going to move on. Unless someone's got something burning. All right. I came down to four specific issues, which we're going to spend the bulk of our time. Safety, a privacy and social media footprint, time management, and then hard issues, which are actually enfolded in all of those. The first thing in safety we're going to talk about is mental health. Okay? The past, I don't know, 20 years of folks or so, maybe not even that old, are growing up in a different world. Growing up in a different world than I grew up in. For those of you who are older than me, certainly growing up in a different world than you're used to. And it's just weird out there. They're constantly connected to peers at school, to temptation, to fads, and there's a lot there that has its absolute good sides. And you may get a flavor from me today of negativity, and that's not necessarily what I want to promote. I think our pastors have done a really good job throughout this whole Sunday school quarter of talking about the balance of social media. There are absolutely good things. But when you're charged with talking about safety, there's going to be a flavor there of some negativity, yeah? So, there. So they're constantly connected. There's this idea in your head that because you're being digitally social with all these people, that you're with them, that you're promoting relationships, and in reality, you're doing the opposite a lot of times. So the social becomes antisocial. I'm a school teacher of high school students. I see it, by the way, I'm Josh Branch. I'm not sure I introduced myself. Some of you may not know me. Hi. I see addiction with devices every day. I see students who literally can't put them down, who start to fidget and shake. It's sad. It really is. But that's a very real concern. And I would say that's not just for youth. I would say I've seen 50-year-olds with that as well, and that's concerning. So raise your hand if you think you may have had some addiction to a device or a social network anytime in your life. Great. We're honest. Good. Depression and anxiety is really up in numbers. One study I looked at said that it's grown, it's doubled. Depression and anxiety in teens has doubled, and one of the reasons for that, they're attributing to this constant connectedness. So, and then going along with that, suicide. Did you know that Stark County was designated by the CDC as a pandemic for teen suicide? Just a couple years ago. Because of the number of teen suicides we had in our area. I think Perry High School had like 6 kids in 1 year commit suicide, or maybe it was 2 years. It was an inordinate amount. We had some students at my school do that. It's really on the rise. 60% increase from 2007 to 2018. And a lot of these young people who are committing suicide are being public on their social media before they do so. And so it's cited as a reason for that. And then you have that Netflix show that came out, which kind of almost encouraged it, or it was a drama based around teen suicide. It's a scary world out there, right? It's a scary world. Bullying is a constant issue. It's always on. It says 59% of teens have been bullied online in some way, shape, or form. 42% have been called offensive names. 32% have had untrue rumors spread about them, and 16% have had physical threats. That's sad, and that's something as a parent that we need to kind of be on the lookout for, right? The reality is these things aren't going away, and bullying was around before social media, so we can't pretend that it's, you know, awful now, but it's different. Yeah. Thanks for mentioning that, Mike. Yep, absolutely. So for the folks watching the video back home, Mike was saying that there's that constant connectedness because of social media, that bullying is just, it's always around. So that was I'm not sure that did justice to what you said, but I repeated it. And then, of course, the big one that we always think of when it comes to internet and social media are our sexual concerns, right? And pornography, of course, is the large one. But there's others there that you may not have thought of. So 25% of all internet searches, including social media, one quarter are pornography related, okay? We've really seen that shift in probably the last 25 years maybe. Where in order to get pornography prior to the advent of the internet, you had to go to these seedy places or you ordered catalogs and things came in like, you know, brown paper bags. There was a barrier to entry there, right? And now it's right here. And within 30 seconds, you can find something. And that has absolutely changed our culture. That's absolutely impacted our churches, and it's impacted our families too, and it's really, really sad. And that's something that we as parents have to, we gotta be on guard. We gotta play defense. We gotta take care of our children because it's there. Another major concern is nudes and sexting. So that's a whole nother layer of pornography where it's not some anonymous person, it's somebody you know. 24% of high school age teens have been involved in sending or receiving nudes or sexting. That is a scary number. 33% of college age students. And then I forget what the figure was, but a lot of those images that are shared, and that's sad to say, it's almost become normal to some extent amongst high school and college students, and dare I say junior high students, to where they're taking these lewd images of themselves, they're sending them to their boyfriend or girlfriend, and then you know what happens when they break up? They forward them to other people. And there's a whole nother side of that, which is the legal aspect, because that then becomes child pornography. It is child pornography. And so that's something where in our school district even, our school resource officers, they deal with that. It's very, very sad. Sex trafficking is something that we sometimes don't think of as being around quaint Canton, Ohio. But Ohio is actually fifth among all states for sex trafficking. 1,032 Ohio children are sex trafficked every year. And Toledo is the fourth highest ranking city for recruiting victims in the country. Jen was telling me the other day that the truck stop right by the highway on Portage is a major area for that. So that's here. We got to protect our kids, right? Boy, this is a real downer, huh? You also have computer safety concerns, virus, malware, attacking. Some of y'all need to increase your password security. I see your Facebook posts. I get your emails that you've been hacked. You need to increase that up. If you need help with that, I am happy to assist. And especially some of our older, but I would not say wiser in this area, constituents in the church. A family member of mine almost just fell for a call that they got because of this, and they were giving them all this personal details and information. And we just got to be on guard. You got to be careful. It's a lot of stuff's out there related to that. And then here's an area that you may not think about. There's a lot of dangerous viral challenges out there. The latest one is called Skull Breakers. Has anybody heard of this? Okay, so what you do is you get a friend, and then you get your victim, and you say, hey, I bet you can't jump up in the air for like 1 second. And they're like, yeah, I can jump up in the air for 1 second. And so, okay, we'll all do it together. And so they all jump up in the air, and then while the middle person's up in the air, they both kick their legs out, and they fall down. And teenagers, junior highs, they think this is hilarious. But what happens when your legs get taken out from underneath you? You can break your skull. Hence the name, right? So there's things like that. They're out there. We heard of the Tide Pods. That was big on, like, news, right? You heard about that. Salt and ice has been around for a long time where you take, you know, a whole bunch of salt, put it on your arm, and then you put a piece of ice, and you are literally chemically burning your skin. Mm-hmm. And to some extent, let's be honest, teenagers are stupid. Okay, I was there. I was a stupid teenager. So self-harm and things, they don't really think about that as much. It's just kind of something fun to do, so they do it. But it's something to be concerned about, right? This is pretty basic, just stuff. I'm not going to cover this a lot. But in regards to digital footprint, these stats were kind of impressive to me. 25% of colleges have denied people based on what they saw on social media. 70% of employers have, and 54% of employers have actually terminated people based on something they've seen on social media. So this idea that we can do whatever we want in, you know, the social media arena and not face consequences isn't necessarily true. And then contact with strangers, the very nature of social media has that as a concern, so we want to be careful. An area where parents often overlook is games. One of the popular games right now is Among Us. Has anybody ever heard of that? A few of you? Okay. It's really, really popular right now. And part of the game is that you talk to strangers to figure out who the imposter is in the game. It's actually a really fun game. Like, you could use it as a family. It's clean. It's safe. But there's a concern there that strangers could be talking to your children, right? Same claim with Minecraft servers and Roblox and all these other things. And you may be looking at me right now saying, I have no idea what you're talking about, Josh. I guarantee you there's new stuff I have no idea too. So it's always coming at you. All right, good. We're still happy. Do you know that your phone, by default, has GPS coordinates, geotags into your photos? Did you know that? You might want to take a second to turn that off. That's how you do it. Yeah. So what that means is if you share a photo on a social media site, some of the sites, they strip that information by default in the compression. Some of them don't. And so you're literally telling anyone who sees that photo exactly where that photo was taken with latitude and longitude points. And then it's just a simple Google search away, unless you get like a globe out and Mercator projection and you're really good at that. I'm not, so I just Google search it. But yeah. All right. What about time management? 3 hours average per day is what we're on the internet. I'm sorry, that's just social media. The internet's actually something like 6.5 hours per day. That's just social media, 3 hours average per day. There's the endless scroll. Boy, they hit a home run when they came up with that. You just keep scrolling on the Facebook and the Twitters and the Instagrams, right? Because there's dopamine hits. Your brain likes it. There's pleasure there. And you gotta see the next thing. I know I need to go put my kids to bed, but I'm scrolling. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you really know and don't want to admit it, though, right? Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about, too, and that's okay. And multitasking. We are not just as humans, we are not good at multitasking. Look up the research there. I laugh when my students are like, have a YouTube video up that has nothing to do with school things, and they're trying to like write a paper or do a homework or edit video. And I'm like, what are you doing? They're like, oh yeah, it's just on in the background. No, it's not. I see you. I know who you are. So we think that we're good at multitasking. We usually aren't. And of course, all of these things are spiritual, right? All of these issues have a spiritual component. Everything in our life does. And so there's contentment issues related to likes and fame, and I want to be accepted, and I want people to love me. And you know what? I think I'm pretty smart, and I have an opinion to share. And I think everyone should hear this opinion, and then they should agree with this opinion. And then you should elect me president. There's lust issues, there's pride issues, and then there's more philosophical, right? The meaning and purpose. My dad told me a long time ago, some good advice that he gave me was, you know, a lot of times perception is reality, at least to that person. And so how are we putting ourselves out there for people to perceive us? How are you interpreting what others are putting out there for you to perceive? And then we get a conflated sense of value and a conflated sense of truth. And then there's always that idea of what's the next thing? I gotta keep scrolling. I gotta click the link. What's the next thing? You have this fear of missing out. So those, in a nutshell, are the problems. Any comments on those before we move on to how we potentially fix said problems? It's good, we're scared. Good. Susie! Conflated is like, it's like a synonym of inflated.
The opposite of inflated?
Now I'm questioning myself, Susie. I don't know, somebody Google it. Google it. Waiting for it. This is a teacher fail right here, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, should have. Oh, there you go. Yeah. So when you combine things that shouldn't be combined?
Combine.
Yeah. Good. All right. Hey, told you I'm not the expert. Yeah. All right. So fixing the problem. The first thing that we have to understand when it comes to these issues is we can't always solve them, right? There's some things you can't shelter your children from. There's some things that no matter how hard you try, they're going to be there. And so we need to just acknowledge that at face value. There's calculated risk reward here, right? If you're using these technologies, if you're using these forms of communication, things are going to happen, okay? And that's part of our jobs as parents is to just go with that, right? Not that we take all barriers down. We want to have safety. We want to have hedges. But we know that parenting is even addressing and dealing with these concerns, right? And your kids are watching how you deal with them, right? Are you taking responsibility with them? Or are you blaming it solely on them? And then I think Mike has a book on this called Not If But When. Is that what the book's called? No, not at all. Yeah, neither am I now. I thought that there's a book about how to have conversations with your children about pornography called Not If But When. Okay. Okay, maybe a subtitle or something. Yeah, I'm not crazy too much. And that's a good like summation though, right? Your kids are going to encounter things in the world, things on the internet. They're going to encounter pornography. The question is not if, but when. right? Maybe it's not hardcore, but there's a lot of things out there that are acceptable that, you know, in previous generations, they would have said that's pornography. Go for it.
It's not a flippant book. Like, hey, this is not it, but when? You're going to have to deal with it. It's not it, but when? Okay, how do we prepare our own hearts as parents? And then how do we prepare talking with our kids? And, you know, so we just don't fly off the deep end. Like, because it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So then how do we prepare to respond to those things? What it's talking about?
Yeah. So here are some areas that we can do as parents to help solve these problems, right? Active parenting, you could ban it all, right? You could take the abstinence approach. You could do that. There's device-specific protocols. There's software. There's hardware. And then there's even some time constraints that you kind of just build in. Yeah?
On that ban it all.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
You can pretend you banned it all and think that you're good. Those kids are seeing it somewhere else.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Absolutely, Mark. Absolutely. So, and in our society, I don't think that's just a good approach. You can certainly ban some things, which we'll talk about here. But yeah. So, this makes me sad that I only have 10 minutes left. Active parenting is the best way to shepherd your children through this, right? You have to be involved. And this absolutely takes time. And if you're somebody who struggles with this, it's going to be hard. But you have a responsibility and you have to do this. Conversation is the first place to start. Talk with your children about what's appropriate to post, what's a proper use of social media, what's an improper use of social media. And then, should you respond to this? Should you not respond to that? Those are all things that need to be part of that conversation. So, you should listen to the experts, even in this room, right? People who have more experience than you in related to these frontiers. Maybe they have a trick they can teach you. All of the Tech Valley experts who have kids, they say that your kids shouldn't be on social media till 13, okay? And they shouldn't have a cell phone till they're 15. Okay, those are the guidelines by the experts, 13 and 15. And then who knows more about these issues? Do you know more than your children do, or do they know more than you? Because if they know more, there's a very real sense in which whatever you do, they're just going to backdoor. So you owe it to yourself to either get learned up on this or to bring in somebody who knows more than you, right? And that's not a one-time thing. That's a constant check, right? And I realize that this is discouraging. Just do something, because something is better than nothing, right? Something, a block, a hedge, a piece of software, moving the computer, getting rid of the laptops and getting a desktop and moving it into a common area. That's something, right? I would argue that you also need to set parental controls for each app, each device, each router, and each cell phone carrier. There's hours worth of work right there. And all that goes back to active parenting, right? It goes back to communicating and talking to your kids. Hey, I'm doing this right now because I want to keep you safe. You should be friends with your children on every platform that they are on. A big thing amongst high school students is getting a call at 9:30 on a Sunday morning. A big thing amongst high school age students is what's called a Finsta, which is a fake Instagram account. So they'll have like this very whitewashed account that looks good to their grandparents and their family members, and then they have their real one, okay? So you should know if your kids have multiple accounts on these social media platforms, and you should maintain access to them. And then just honesty, right? It goes back to that conversation, and we already talked about number 9. All right. So you can set time constraints so that these apps turn off at 9 o'clock, whatever time works best for your family, right? So that they're just off. You can do that for the whole internet with some of these devices that I probably won't have time to tell you about today, but they're in the packet. And then even asking the questions, what are your boundaries when it comes to the internet and social media in your household? What are those boundaries? Have you even asked that very simple question? And then also model that behavior, be the example. Well, yeah, mom and dad say I can't have my phone at the dinner table, but they always have their phone at the dinner table. So little things like that, right? And rules will absolutely change based on age, based on personalities, based on tastes. What works for my family right now is probably not going to work in 2 years. So that's why it's constantly changing. So you want to be somewhere as a parent in between total clueless person and prison warden, right? So somewhere in between that spectrum, hopefully you're finding that happy medium, but it's hard. Okay, we have 6 minutes. Why don't I open it up real quick to some Q&A, if you got like a burning thing, and then I'll just quickly go through the PowerPoint again. Yeah.
We will video you, and we'll put this as a resource on some of these things that he's not going to get to. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Just for encouragement for anyone sitting here, and you can re-say that so people will hear that on the screen too.
So we're going to do a second presentation where I kind of go through some of this and videotape it, and then we'll push that out to you so you have it. So thanks, Mike. Yeah. Jen. Yeah, so it's important not just to be friends with them on the social media accounts, but actually to maintain access to their accounts with their usernames and passwords so you can check those DMs, those direct messages. Yep, good. Thanks. Hey, Jason.
So I know you can't facilitate everything, but in our previous home, there were some kids that had full access to their cell phones, and, you want to, like in the neighborhood, yeah. And you just want to be careful with your kids, being around other kids that have full access, knowing if they have full access, so having that communication with the other parents or not. We would not allow them to be around them when they had their cell phones on them, which became more apparent over time very quickly. But what was concerning is that when I worked for T-Mobile had a parental thing that you could get to protect your devices, see everything on their devices. 95% of all parents said, no, my kids don't need it. They're good kids. 95%. I would say the other like 5%, not 3% to maybe 4% were, I'll consider that. It wasn't even like, I already got something in place. 95% was like, no, my kids are good. And then the other 4% that was left, was, I'll consider that. Probably about 1% of parents actually said, thank you, I'm glad that this is here. This is something that we need to get. So just be aware of that as well, because a lot of parents are not. So.
Yeah, because you as a parent could do everything right in your own home, but if they're spending lots of time elsewhere and you haven't had those conversations with those parents, they're at risk there. That's why at the end of the day, these are all heart issues, right? And where there's a will, there's a way. So if somebody wants to, have access to illicit content, they're going to find a way. So that's why you just need to talk to your kids. And a lot of these things, there's holes in them, right? So what you do is you layer the Swiss cheese on top of each other to try to fill those gaps. But ultimately, it's that conversation with your students. Okay, so in 3 minutes, I'm just going to real quick go through these slides so you can see them as a resource. And you can come up to me afterwards and we can talk more or whatever. So there's device-specific things, whether it's iOS with these specific things with screen time that you can do. There are Chromebook-specific resources here. There are Mac operating systems. If you have a Mac, Apple fan in your house, there's Windows 10 options. Some areas that people don't think about are their TVs, your smart TVs, and your video game platforms are all connected to the internet these days and have access to illicit content. So I think through that stuff too. And then there's lots of software options, okay, whether it's app specific for the social media, on TikTok, on YouTube, whether it's filtering, whether it's accountability software like Covenant Eyes, whether it's logging software, where it actually takes a log of every keystroke that you type in, or it takes a screenshot of your phone or your computer and emails those. Those are very real, great options. And then there's time management and distraction block software, because let's talk about our attention spans and work and how these areas are impacting that, right? So there's apps specific on these. I have a whole bunch of resources at the very end of the presentation. There's links for you. If you have that packet, they're there. Those are the best thing that I could do is to hand you a whole bunch of things to say, here you go. Go research it. Go find. So filtering, there's some providers. A lot of these have free stuff. And then if you want more devices or more users, they spend money there. And it's not a lot of money. Most of these are under $200 a year. Which if you have these devices, those devices cost more than that. DNS options are really powerful. We don't have time to get into that, but that is a great area to do parental controls with DNS. I'm a huge fan of Covenant Eyes, and they've changed how they've done things. It's even better than it was before. Fairly inexpensive. Logging software we talked about. Time management software. There's some options for time management. Hardware options. These are things you plug into your internet at home. These are things that either are its own router, so you plug them into your cable modem, and you download an app, and it takes care of your whole house. Circle is probably my favorite in this area. That's what we have at home. It's relatively inexpensive, and it also affects your children's mobile phones even when they're out of the house. So Circle is really, really great. There's some options. Those are in there. And then here are just some things that we can use to help, right? Each other. Please talk to each other. We need each other. CommonSense.org is great. KidsHealth.org, Internet Safety 101, Protect Young Eyes. Just Googling things. And then you can see the handouts at the end. So very negative today. You can do this. You absolutely can do this. And if you need help, I am happy to assist. There's my name. There's my cell. There's my email address. Okay. And then if you are techie, if you know things in this area, we need you. Avengers assemble! Right? We need to help each other. So Luke, I'm looking at you, man. So we're actually even going to talk about making a team up here at the church that can kind of go out and serve each other in that area. So that's what I got. Got no time. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for what you're doing here in this body of believers. We thank you for each other, that we can be an assistance. Lord, we just pray that even though all of these things were somewhat practical, we pray that ultimately we get down to the heart issues that we sin because we're sinners and we need you, all of us. Amen.